Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
George Carlin is famous for the seven dirty words on television routine.
Yep.
I was working for him on The George Carlin Show, which was a sitcom on Fox. And so I was the stage assistant. So in essence, I was George's assistant for the year. He's like, I literally made it up in like 10 minutes, like drunk out of my mind. Like, and all I did was trying to come up with the funniest sounding dirty words.
Yep.
And he goes, and that's the definition of profanity in America today. Something that I came up with drunk out of my mind at like 3 a.m.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Majority of my good ideas have happened when I am drunk out of my mind at 3 a.m. If you think I said, sure, let's put Jay Croucher on the show sober at like 4 in the afternoon, you were sadly mistaken. He is Jay Croucher, the head trader for PointsBet. I am, of course, Matthew Berry, and this is the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, served by Applebee's. Full row of jerseys behind me. We got some. We got a Jamar Chase in. We got an Austin Eckler. We got a little Cooper Kupp. We got Chad Pennington somehow still managed to get in there. But Josh Allen, little Jonathan Taylor action.
Little Matthew Berry one.
Mark Andrews, sure there's about. A Matthew Berry one. Of course, Mahomes in the house as well. And Jay, we're going to do something special today. Today is the next 2 weekends, I believe, are the majority of fantasy drafts will be happening here in the States.
100%.
When you guys do fantasy drafts in Australia, do you also have the kangaroos?
Yeah, oh yeah, we have the kangaroos. We also, the time zones of Yahoo and ESPN, everyone, all messed up for the Australians. So there's a lot of drafting at just bizarre hours, but it's building.
Well, you're drunk at 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
You're drunk at 3 a.m.
Prime time to draft in
100%.
Melbourne.
Has anyone ever made out with a kangaroo at one of these parties? They were so drunk.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
That's
good. Let's not rot it off.
I agree. You know who? Koalas are cute.
Yeah, you like koalas?
I do.
They're sneakily deadly.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to really annoy a koala.
I did not know that.
They got a gear. They got some ceiling of violence.
Okay.
Yeah, they can hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that would be a pretty good, B movie, like Angry Koala. They're what?
They're thick. They're compact. They have little jabs they can do. Yeah. People are scared of...
I've been called thick and compact myself back in the day. After a lunch of chicken fingers. All right. The seven... So this is the Draft Day Manifesto episode of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. The seven habits of highly effective drafters. I've been drafting Jay for, almost 3 decades at this point in my life. And I've studied tons and tons of drafts. Whether it is at ESPN or Yahoo or anywhere else, I've looked at what creates a winning draft, and I've done this for many, many years. And so this year, with the switch over to NBC, didn't really have time to do the whole deep dive and the right. But what we're going to do is right here, we're going to, for the next hour, we're going to give you the audio and or video version of the Draft Day Manifesto and the seven habits of highly effective drafters.
It's a very spiritual list. I think this would be a great platform for you to run for president.
I appreciate
which
that.
Which is a market that's wide open.
Me versus Stephen A. Smith, apparently.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tom Hanks is only 200-1.
Yeah.
He's firming as
really?
Well. Also, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who's menu of our sponsor, Applebee's, he's firming as well. He's only 50-1 to be the next president.
For the record, I would vote for The Rock or Tom Hanks over me every single day. I'd probably also vote for Stephen A. over me, to be perfectly honest.
I
don't know who should be president of the United States. I just know who shouldn't be, and that's this guy right here. All right. Let's dive into it.
The first one, spend a ton of time preparing.
Yeah, I mean, this one seems sort of self-explanatory, but fantasy football drafting is like anything else in life. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. So I believe that you can't listen. There are people that do it, but if you want success at drafting, you can't just roll into your draft grabbing whatever cheat sheet, or like you go to rotoworld.com, NBC Sports Edge, you print out my rankings 10 minutes before, you print out somebody else's rankings. Like, my rankings will be fine for you. Don't make no mistake. You'll be all right. But my point is the more time you can spend mock drafting, researching, going online, watching preseason games, listening to download, you know, to podcasts and watching shows like the RotoWorld Draft Guide show, which is now available on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel, doing things like that, and also figuring, you know, especially once you know your draft position, oh, I'm sixth. Okay, well, do a bunch of mock drafts. You can do them on Yahoo. You can do them on NBC, ESPN, I should say. I would also recommend doing it on whatever platform that you're playing on, because this is the other piece that I think is super important, right? That the ADP on most sites are really influenced by the default ranks on that particular site.
Yes.
So there'll be players that are going way high on ESPN that are going much lower on Yahoo, you know, or vice versa, or Sleeper, or wherever you end up playing, right? NFL.com, CBS, et cetera, et cetera. And so I would basically take my cheat sheet, and you can mock draft on almost all those sites, and do a mock draft on the site that you're going to, so you can sort of see the ADP, where that goes, because it's highly influential. The draft room, you're in there, clock is counting down, you're like, oh, who's, you know, highest on the list?
I think the other thing, too, is that the more prep you do raises your floor. Because if you do no prep and then you go in and then the first few rounds don't go your way, then you start tuning out, you start drinking, you start taking Damian Harris in the third round, and everything burns. Okay, the next one, identify the relative
depth. I like that's what everything burns when you've taken Damian Harris in the third round.
Exactly. Number two, identify the relative depth at every position.
And we're going to get into this as the show goes on. We're going to break down quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. We're going to break that down. But understanding, like, hey, this is a position I can wait on. This is a position where I need to go early. Or this is a position where if I don't go early, I have to understand who are some late-round targets. Understanding the relative depth of every position, when and where you need to attack it, I think is crucial.
Definitely. Number three, minimize risk and give yourself the best odds to win on a weekly basis.
Yeah, this is fantasy football philosophy 101, and this is something that I preached, you know, throughout my career. If you take nothing away from this show other than this one thing, take this. Fantasy football is all about minimizing risk on a weekly basis and putting yourself and giving yourself the best odds to win on a weekly basis. That's what it is. So, well, fantasy football is an unpredictable game. There's no question. Like, I cannot tell you how many times I have had an NFL coach, like an offense coordinator, somebody who's actually calling the plays, tell me, this player is going to have a big game. We have identified something in the defense. We think we can attack them with this player and this thing. This is a big game, going to be a big game for this particular player. Running back by committees. We think it's the power back, not the pass catching back this week. It's going to be a big, you know, week for this guy. And the game comes and, like, the pass catching back catches a pass for, like, you know, a 3-yard out and runs 70 yards for a touchdown, and you're like, all right, well, it's his game.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so even NFL coaches don't know what's going to happen in a game. We don't have time to tell, but I've told this story many times before about Matt Hasselbeck. The great Matt Hasselbeck, who played fantasy football when he was the starting quarterback for the Seahawks and literally benched himself. he benched himself in a week where he was coming off of a week where he missed two games. He was playing the Jaguars, who had a good defense that year, and his other quarterback was Brett Favre, the first year in Minnesota. And Favre was great that first year in Minnesota as a fantasy quarterback. And Favre was playing the Rams, who at that time were one of the worst teams in the NFL. So Matt Hasselbeck benched himself and started Brett Favre. You know, in his own fantasy matchup, right? That week, Adrian Peterson has a huge game, scores three touchdown passes. Brett Favre has one touchdown pass, one interception, finishes like the 18th best quarterback in fantasy. Meanwhile, Matt Hasselbeck, sitting on his own bench, throws four touchdown passes, over 250 yards against the Jaguars. Seattle absolutely lambasts them. Matt Hasselbeck finishes the number one quarterback in fantasy that week, sitting on his own bench. Again, this is a guy that studied the playbook, that knew all the and watched all the film. He was a guy that could audible any play, literally touched the football on every offensive play.
Yes.
And he still got it wrong.
Yeah, he benched himself.
Right, exactly. So if Matt Hasselbeck can't get it right, what chance do any of us have? And Matt has, you know, graciously allowed me to tell that story many years. It's my favorite fantasy football story of all time. So my point is that It's a wacky game played with a leather ball in an oblong shape. You can't predict the future. All you can do is minimize risk and put yourself in the best odds to win. And we're going to talk as we go through the positions about how to minimize risk. It's all about range of outcomes.
Okay. Number four, use rankings flexibly and in context.
Yeah, again, I spend a tremendous amount of time on my own rankings. And even when I'm in a draft, I will use it as a loose guideline. Don't be beholden to the rankings as the end-all be-all, whether it's mine or anyone else's. They are a loose guideline. You know, value within a market changes with every pick. And by the way, as soon as kickoff happens on Thursday night, next Thursday night, you know, Bills at Rams,
yes,
it's all out the window anyway. I mean, right? Allen Robinson catches two touchdown passes and Cooper Kupp goes, you know.
Cooper Kupp's number two.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, it all changes as soon as it happens. By the way, that Thursday night game is on NBC.
It is.
I'm a company man. Football Night in America
channel
will precede that. I will be on the field at SoFi Stadium. Please tune in.
You will.
To the proud peacock there.
Sounds like a winning week for you.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is this is like if you're going down the list and it's like, oh, well, I should take a running back here, but you already have three running backs and you
yes
don't need a wide and you have no wide receivers, like, move to the next wide receiver.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, just use them within context and be flexible on your rankings.
Okay, number five, focus on winning weeks.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is that you hear a lot of talk about, oh, this person was quarterback six over last year, you know, or
yes
and so I think people forget that it's actually a weekly game. It is a weekly game that's played over the course of a year, but it's not a year long game. Your goal every single week in season long fantasy football is to beat one person, whoever you're playing.
Yes.
Right, and to get as many points as you can. And so the idea is that as you do your draft, you're not going to be able to draft an entire team of players that you start every single week. Even if everyone on your team crushes and they all stay healthy, you're still going to have bye weeks. So the idea here is that when you're constructing your roster during your draft day, all you're doing is creating a foundation, a blueprint. You're going to have to figure out over the course of the season. And so when I'm drafting, we talk about range of outcomes. I'll try to be very quick here, producers, because they're in my ear. But you're talking about range of outcomes, right?
Yes.
Every player in the NFL basically has, when I'm drafting, I want one of two kinds of players. I want a player with a very narrow range of outcomes. Josh Allen. I don't know if Josh Allen finishes as the number one quarterback in fantasy, but I do know that barring some catastrophic injury, he's going to be top three or four. There's a very narrow range of outcomes for Josh Allen. You
yep
know, it would be shocking if Josh Allen wasn't a top five fantasy quarterback. Narrow range of outcomes for Josh Allen over the course of a season. Very high floor. There aren't a lot of players like that.
No.
You know, there's a handful of guys at the top of every position where you can say that. So then what I'm focusing on players that can win you weeks because they'll have value at some point in the season. Like, you know, the example I would always give for years and years and years is James White. James White will finish as a top 25 running back every single year, and there'll never be a week that you actually want to use him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the weeks that he does score a touchdown are fluky.
Yeah, you never know when it's coming.
You never know when it's coming. Like Nyheim Hines. Like, I think Nyheim Hines is going to be a nice, actually, player in PPR this year. All right, but what you want, like, give me a guy like Alexander Mattison, where the idea here is that there's going to be a lot of weeks where Alexander Mattison isn't usable. But the weeks in which Alexander Mattison is usable, you'll know when to start him. Like, so there were 2 weeks last year when Dalvin Cook was out, and you're like, okay, this is an Alexander Mattison week, and he was a top 10 fantasy running back each of those weeks. The idea is it's not just about finding players that have the potentially to be, you know, to win you a week, but knowing when to start them. That's the key, right? And so here's finding players that have a range of outcome that's either high floor over the course of a season, or in a certain period of time, you'll know when to start them, and they could potentially win you a week.
Definitely. Okay, let's move on to number six, which is one of the most presidential of your points. Be adaptable and trust yourself above others.
It's your team.
Yes.
Listen, I'm up here pontificating. So's Jay. Like, there's 8 million people doing fantasy football analysis. It's your team. You're the one that has to live with it week in, week out. You're the one who knows your league mates, how easy it is to trade, how easy it will be to work the waiver wire. Like, it's your team. Trust yourself above all overs. You're the one that's going to have to live with it all season long. So, you know, if you're trying to decide between my opinion or your own opinion, go with yours. Go
yes
with your gut.
Live and die with yourself.
You can still blame me, you know what I mean? But just go with your gut.
Okay, number seven, the last one. Another kind of presidential one, which has me pricing you in the same range as Tom Hanks in that 200-to-1 next president market. Approach the draft as just the first step towards success.
Yeah, again, it's a full season, right? Think about somebody like Cordero Patterson last year. You know, we're talking about the range of outcomes, that whole thing. Devontae Freeman was a top 16 fantasy running back from like weeks 9 to 13
looked
last
amazing.
Year. Right, yeah, exactly. And he was on his couch at this time last year, hoping for a gig. My point is that whether it's trades, whether it's waiver wires, there'll always be players that pop. There'll be injuries that unfortunately happen. And so there'll be other players that get opportunities that maybe don't have it. Understand that you do not need to leave the draft with a complete team. All you're doing is giving yourself a blueprint. And by the way, as you go through the draft, as we're talking about, like, say you have a bunch of running backs, and the next best available player is a running back, and you're like, I'm going to have to really, you know, stretch three rounds for a wide receiver, grab another running back. Give yourself some trade bait. You know,
sure.
Like, you can create depth at a position. If you find yourself losing out on a position and you're like, I'm going to have to really reach, don't reach. Just stock depth at a position that you know you'll be able to trade in your league, whether it's, you know, a lot of depth at wide receiver or running back. Maybe it's two elite tight ends. Whatever. Give yourself options to maneuver throughout the season because, again, you don't have to win your league out of the draft. You just need to give yourself a foundation.
Same as the real NFL draft. Don't draft for need. Draft best available.
Correct.
And when we come back after the break, we're going to talk running back strategy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you see Jay just throw it to break right there? Like a semi-professional host?
I guess I'll do more of that. That was fun.
Nice. Sure. All yours. I am back, and you know what's more important than me? The fact that Brian Robinson is back. Commander's tweeting this out. We're all excited to have @BrianR_4 back in the building, the heart emoji. That is an awesome, awesome sign. Just a few days after, a horrific incident. I don't know what else you call it, right? But that's awesome. That's what an awesome sign. So I know I speak for obviously everyone here at the show, but I think the fantasy football community and just fans everywhere that thrilled that Brian is okay and looks like he's
definitely
already
like
on the road to recovery.
He might be on the field as well, which is
which
great.
Would be a miracle.
That's
amazing. Incredible.
Okay. Let's
that's
talk
awesome.
About.
Welcome back, Brian.
Let's talk about running back strategy.
Yes, sir.
And the first question is, what does your top tier of running backs look like, and who's the cutoff?
Okay, sure. So let's. I'm going to put up a full screen right here for those of you watching on Peacock TV or later on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel. But for those listening to purely the audio version of it, I have Jonathan Taylor at 1. I have CMC Chris McCaffrey at 2. Eckler, Austin Eckler, last year's ride or die, comes in at 3. You all doubted me last year, and you're wrong. Dalvin Cook at 4, Derrick Henry at 5. Cook at 4, again, you know I think the Vikings offense takes a huge step. I have Alvin Kamara at running back 6, much higher than the consensus. I do not believe he gets suspended this year. Najee Harris comes in at 7, doesn't seem to be any concerns about his injury. Aaron Jones at 8. I might swap those two, Harris and Jones, really close for me. I'm significantly higher than Jones on the overall Yahoo ADP. Joe Mixon is at 9 behind that new rebuilt offensive line. And DeAndre Swift, as we've talked about, behind a very sneakily good offensive line for the Lions, comes in at 10.
Derrick Henry in the middle there between Cook and Kamara as well. There you go.
That is correct. Did I not say Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry's getting overlooked a little bit.
Yeah, well, Derrick Henry's at 5. Cook is at 5. Henry's at Dalvin Cook is at 4, Henry's at 5, Kamara at 6, Harris at 7, Aaron Jones at 8, Joe Mixon 9, DeAndre Swift at 10. Oh, there we go. So that's my top 10. I think in terms of the cutoff, I mean, that's my top 10. I mean, how when you ask cutoff, what are you specifically asking for?
Where does it drop? Because for me, I would say that tier 1 by itself is Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey. And then
it's a drop.
Where I think that, you know, those are the two favorites to lead the league in scrimmage yards. Those are the two guys with the most upside. Then I would have Eckler kind of in his own tier at number mm-hmm. 3, where I think he's the clear number 3.
Okay.
And then, you know, we differ on Derrick Henry.
Yes, we do.
Also, we differ a little bit on Dalvin Cook. I would actually have Alvin Kamara at 4, but he would be in a similar tier with those guys like Cook, like Henry. Do you agree with that? Would you tier
him? Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you, Taylor McCaffrey and their own in their own sort of tier. I agree with you, Eckler on a second tier. I think, yeah, Cook, Henry, Kamara, probably in an... Cook, Henry, Kamara are cut above Harris, Jones, Mixon, Swift, to me, is how I would
less
put it
exciting.
There. Less exciting. There's a little bit more risk. There's a little more injury risk with Cook, Henry, and Kamara than there is with some of the other guys. And then you get into... further down. I mean, and then, by the way, then the next tier is, just by my rankings, Fournette, Barkley, James Conner, Javonte Williams.
Yeah. Right? I think Barkley and Williams are the two guys who have the most upside to really vault
1,000%.
Into the next tier. So a couple days ago, we talked about zero RB, which is growing in popularity as a strategy this year with what's on the board.
And we should explain that. And by the way, and Denny Carter at NBCSportsEdge.com, he's kind of planted his flag there. But highly recommend going to NBC Sports Edge and checking out Denny's stuff if you're interested in zero RB. But in essence, zero RB for people that are uninitiated or haven't ever tried it, it doesn't mean you don't draft running backs. Mm. It merely means that you do not draft a premium running back, that the first 5 or 6 rounds, you are loading up on elite wide receivers, elite tight ends, maybe even elite quarterback. The idea is that you're going to crush on a weekly basis. You're going head-to-head. You're like, I'm going to beat you at wide receiver. I'm going to beat you at tight end. I'm going to beat you at quarterback. And then with running back, because there's so much volatility at the position between injuries, between committees, between we know that there'll be guys that emerge, I'm going to be able to sift through that rubble to find this year's Cordarrelle Patterson, this year's Devontae Freeman, who again was a top, 16 running back for about 4 weeks last year. There are guys throughout the season, there will always be guys like that. Darrell Williams, had a run there where he was highly productive. So you'll find those kind of pockets, if you will. That's the idea behind zero RB. It is something that you cannot, you can't half-ass it.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think of a different word, but whatever. It's happy hour. You can't half-ass that. Like you have to that's a strategy that you need to sort of okay, if you're doing that, you have to do it because you've got to nail the other positions.
Yep.
Right? And then by the way, not only is it like drafting high upside and potential running backs, in the mid to later rounds, but you have to know yourself. Like, are you somebody that's going to be scouring the waiver wire, or are you somebody that's sort of like, oh man, I forgot to put in my picks this week?
Yeah. So would you do it this year with what's on the board?
I think you can this year because of the way the strategy is going. Like, there are guys that are going later, like Damian Pierce is going, higher than, he's raising
getting
up.
Getting a bit out of
like,
control with Damian
But I think
Pierce.
The Ramondre Stevensons, the Rashad Pennies, the Chase Edmonds of the world. Like, I think there are guys, that you could potentially get. Like, and there are running backs that are going much later. Michael Carter, James Robinson, for example. Daryl Henderson going super late, right? I mean, we'd mentioned Nyheim Hines in the first segment. It is not a strategy that I've employed a lot. But when the draft falls to me that way, like if I'm sitting there in the first round and all of a sudden, Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson has fallen to me, at the end of the first round, and then I come back around and, Adams is still there, Chase is still there, I don't mind it.
I think it's something where you should let the draft dictate whether
Correct.
You go to that. Where if you have a chance to have your two running backs, Austin Eckler and Alvin Kamara, and the draft just breaks that way and you can get them at value, then I don't think that's something you should turn away from because of this commitment to this philosophical ideal, the zero RB. The next question is, are you avoiding the running back dead zone in rounds 4 through 7?
Yeah, 1,000%. And that's one of the reasons why to do zero RB. If you don't get at least one elite running back in the first two rounds, then I would immediately go to zero RB because what's happening is these guys, and this is the running back dead zone here, and this is basically Yahoo ADP from from like 40 to 70 overall. So
like
Cam Akers, Elijah Mitchell, Breece Hall, David Montgomery, Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs, J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillon, Antonio Gibson, Damian Harris.
Like A.J. Dillon.
I like A.J. Dillon. Of this list, I like A.J. Dillon. Dobbins, you know, I used to like Dobbins. We talked about him last week, but the signing of Kenyon Drake makes me a little concerned. I think Elijah Mitchell could be all right. Because when Shanahan commits to one guy, and I don't think Elijah Mitchell did anything last year to lose the job, it's just health with him. Etienne, I do think, has some potential upside. Akers has the talent, but I think that's going to be a committee. And so, right, Etienne I don't mind. A.J. Dillon I really like. Potentially Gibson with the unfortunate news around Brian Robinson. Gibson may fall into a much more of an every-down role than was expected. But other than that, like, I hate all these running backs, again, at their current ADP. Yep. I would much rather go with a wide receiver at that position. We'll talk about wide receiver coming up in the next segment. But the idea here is that if I don't get an elite running back in the first two rounds, and then I'm picking as my running back one through that list, like, those are all guys that I would want as flex plays, not as a number one or even as a number two. Like, and so Montgomery, we don't know if Khalil Herbert is healthy. Like, looks like that's going to be a committee on a bad team. Like, so I am absolutely avoiding the running back dead zone unless I can get one of those guys as a flex. Like I said, I like Etienne as a flex if you can get him.
Yeah, a lot of names there.
And A.J. Dillon I love as a flex. Yeah,
a lot of names there where very questionable ceiling and then also a floor that could really just fall out, where I'd much rather have names like Rashad Penny and Devin Singletary and Ramondre Stevenson, who you're getting later and who have the upside to be better than all of those guys if some things break their way.
Now, speaking 1,000%. So that is just to underscore this, that is a scenario where absolutely, if you find yourself, you went Jamar Chase in the first and then you decided to go Andrews or Kelsey in the second, and then you found yourself and you're just like, oh, well, you know, I can't, whatever. Tyreek Hill is still there in the third. All right, fine. I'll do Tyreek. You know what I mean? And like, and then you just find yourself, now you're in round four and you're like, you know, your best available is like Breece Hall or Dave Monk.
Don't feel compelled.
Josh Jacobs.
To take Josh Jacobs because you need a running back.
Yeah,
you
don't do this. Don't do that, right? That's the Dwayne McFarlane tweet. You know, this is what dancing version of drafting Josh Jacobs.
Wondering what you're going for there with the little kind of kangaroo punches.
Well, no. I feel like kangaroos are like this.
Yeah, with the gloves.
This is the kangaroo old guy in the video that Dwayne tweeted.
Yeah, with the
different
moves.
Kangaroo, old guy.
Good distinction. Okay, next question. What do you look for in late round running back targets? And then tied to that, where do you stand philosophically on insurance backs?
So let's answer the second question first. Philosophically, I'm in on insurance backs. Okay. Again, you've invested so much in that first round pick, whether it's Dalvin Cook. Now, there's not a lot of insurance backs.
No.
You have to know, hey, two things to draft an insurance back. You need to know, number one, is who it's going to be. And number two, that they're going to be productive if and when they get the role. Alexander Mattison, perfect example. Tony Pollard behind Ezekiel Elliott, perfect example. Mark Ingram behind Alvin Kamara. He's had a strong preseason. And we've seen him, you know, produce in that role before.
Yep.
If Najee Harris goes down, is it Benny Snell? Sorry, Benny. As far as I know, Benny has no odor. I just want to be clear about that. I've never been close enough to Benny to get a whiff.
If he gets the role and he really tanks, understood. We call him Benny Snell.
Benny Snell if he tanks. I'm sorry, Benny. Anyway, Benny Snell. Unintentional slip of the tongue. Well, he's a big guy. I don't think kids call. Like, I could see if he was a little kid.
Why do you hate Benny Snell?
I know. Poor Benny Snell. Anyway, we don't know if it's Jalen Warren or Benny Snell. We think it's Benny Snell. We don't know if Benny Snell would be that productive, as you know, it might be more of a committee there. So you know,
there are certain guys if you go all in on Christian McCaffrey and he gets injured, then you're just screwed. Anyway, you don't need to take insurance out.
I do think Deontay Foreman. I mean, they have Chuba Hubbard there too. I do think Deontay Foreman, who produced last year, would be my but yes, correct. Like James Conner goes down, is it Darrell Williams? Is it Eno Benjamin? Like we don't know, and we don't know if those players would be sick. So the point is, for an insurance back, you need to know who it will absolutely be that person, and given that role, that person will be successful. Now, what do I look for in late round running back targets? This is sort of what we talked about in the first segment, right? We look for a couple things. Number one, you look for pass catching ability, because then they might be usable in a flex week if you're stuck, if you've got a lot of injuries, bye week, what have you. Because then if they have a pass catching ability, they have a way to get on the field, even if the starter, quote unquote, is healthy and doing well. But the other thing I look for is there a path to playing time? You know, you sort of look about every player and you're like, okay, what's the scenario in which this player has fantasy value other than just everyone else around him gets injured or is out with COVID or what have you, and he suddenly gets insane volume. So you think about, Kareem Hunt's not a late round running back, but like Nick Chubb goes out, like there's an opportunity there.
Yep.
Zamir White. Think about Zamir White, who has the ability to be a three down back. We know Amir Abdullah does not. Josh Jacobs was not drafted by this current regime. We've seen the Raiders already make a lot of moves, getting rid of some of the early round picks of the earlier previous regime.
Yep.
And so Jacobs, who didn't have his fifth year option picked up, you could see a scenario where the Raiders go, Josh McDaniel says, we think Zamir White is better. Let's give him a shot, right?
Khalil Herbert.
Same thing, right, with David Montgomery. It's just if something happens to Montgomery, Herbert would be the guy. And we saw that last year, right, when Herbert got two different games as the starter for the Bears. He averaged 18.8 fantasy points per game. He had at least 18 rushing attempts in both starts, over 122 yards from scrimmage in those games. So Jamal Williams, like we talked about this, the Lions, for all the challenges the Lions have, they actually have a pretty good offensive line. And we know that if DeAndre Swift went down, Jamal Williams, who has been productive in his career, would be the guy. So Jamal Williams is an interesting guy there. Again, so that's what you're looking for is Tyler Algier in Atlanta. He's got a over 30-year-old converted wide receiver as the starting running back ahead of him.
Yep.
So it's looking at situations. And by the way, coming out tomorrow will be my 10 list of 10. I'm a company man, another plug. And one of the 10 lists will be late-round running back targets. So you can check that out, and you can always look at my rankings, all available for free on NBCSportsEdge.com.
Okay. All right. We are going to go to we're not going to go to break because we're going to look at Dwayne McFarland's tweet.
Yeah. You know what? His arms are lower than I thought. It's like
you had too much extension.
Too much extension. I was using too much elbow. For him, it's in the shoulders. He keeps it. Can we go back on me for a second? Can we do a split screen? Can we do that? No, we can't. I'm being told we don't have the technology available to that. Apparently, the split screen technology has not made its way to the happy hour yet. But yeah, see how it stays in place, and it's just the elbow. It's the shoulder going back. Okay. It's a lot in the legs.
We'll be back.
I'm going to work on this in the break.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
It is the Draft Day Manifesto episode of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, so this promo read seems particularly pertinent. Prep for your draft with the latest player rankings, projections, and more in the NBC Sports Edge Fantasy Football Draft Guide. Plus, it's powered by RotoWorld, the premier source for player news and fantasy information. Take advantage of our preseason special. Get the draft guide for just $5. Jay, you can afford that.
I can
just
afford that.
Just $5 when you use the promo code DRAFTGUIDE at checkout on NBCSportsEdge.com/draftguide. Let's go. Powered by RotoWorld. Come on, people. $5. You can afford $5. That's less than a coffee at some places.
It's less than a coffee at some places.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into wide receiver strategy.
Okay.
And the first question is, how many wide receivers are you comfortable taking in the first round?
Four.
Okay.
Four. It depends on your first round, right? If you're in 10-team league or 12-team league.
Are all their jerseys on the wall?
No. Wait, you know what? They are. All their jerseys are on the wall. Yes. So, for those that are listening to this, here's my top 10 fantasy wide receivers. Cooper Kupp, that just went away. What are you going to do? Here, I'll read it. So Cooper Kupp is obviously at number one. Justin Jefferson at number two.
Yep.
Jamar Chase is at three. Davante Adams is at four. Stephon Diggs comes in at number five. CeeDee Lamb at six. Debo is at seven. Tyreek Hill at eight. T. Higgins at nine. And then Mike Evans pops in at number 10. DJ Moore at 11. A.J. Brown at 12. And the others receiving votes for the first round category. Okay. In terms of who I would feel most comfortable drafting inside the first round, honestly, I think you can. For me, it goes down to Adams.
Okay.
Right.
Like, so you got four guys.
Right.
And Diggs doesn't make it.
If you have a 12, I have Diggs at 11 overall. So if your first round is 12 players, I'm comfortable with Diggs at the very end of the first round there. But I've Kupp fourth overall, Jefferson fifth, Jamar Chase at eighth, Adams Adams at 10 overall. Sorry, I have Kupp at four and Justin Jefferson at five overall, Jamar Chase at six overall, Davante Adams at 10 overall, Stephon Diggs at 11 overall. That's on my top 200. All of my rankings are available, my top 200 available at NBCSportsEdge.com, RotoWorld.com as well. I think this year more than ever, because the wide receivers are so elite and because we have so many running back by committee and we saw, you know, a decent amount of big-name players get injured last year at the running back position, we feel better about a wide receiver retaining value. We always talk about how, you know, one of the things that, you know, we didn't really get to in the first segment, we were talking about the seven habits of highly effective drafters, is that you understand how crucial those first two rounds are.
Yep.
The first two rounds are incredibly crucial. We always say you can't win your draft in the first two rounds. You can lose it. 30%, over 30% of your weekly fantasy total generally will come from your first two round picks. So you want safe there. And generally speaking, wide receivers hold their value year after year more often than running backs because there's less volatility at the position, there's less injuries at the position. So we feel pretty good about Kupp, Jefferson, Chase, Adams, and Diggs in terms of the quarterbacks they have, in terms of the target share they're going to get, in terms of their overall talent. And we think all of them are less likely to get hurt than some of the running backs.
Talking about some of these guys, there is no player whose stock has risen from a betting perspective, I think it's a real-life perspective as well, over the offseason than Justin Jefferson, where now people have anointed him. And I think there will be lots of people going into drafts wanting to take Jefferson over Cooper Kupp because they see there's more upside, he's more exciting, he's more athletic, he ties into a lot of those types of things. But I would have Kupp almost in his own tier as the number one guy. And the reason for that is that he's already done it. You're projecting Jefferson to do what Kupp did last year when Kupp has already done that. And look, Kupp had one game last year where he had less than 95 yards.
Yeah.
One, that's completely absurd. And two, Justin Jefferson had 10 games under 95 receiving yards. So there is a big gap for Jefferson to close. And look, he clearly has the talent, but I think Kupp is clearly the guy. And I don't even think it's that close.
Well, I mean, in order for him to beat what Kupp did last year, Justin Jefferson would have to have the greatest season in NFL history for a fantasy wide receiver.
It's a really high bar.
It's a really high bar. We're really excited about the Vikings offense. We think they're going to take the next step. Obviously, the guy helping call plays for Justin Jefferson, Kevin O'Connell and Wes Phillips, they were part of McVay's staff last year when Cooper Kupp did have that record-setting year. I feel very strongly that Jefferson is wide receiver two.
Yes.
I almost think they're almost separate tiers. Kupp's his own tier, Jefferson's his own tier, and then you get in the Chase, Adams, Diggs tier for me. And then I think Lamb is his own tier, and then I would go to Debo, Tyreek Hill, you know, Higgins, Evans, I think is sort of the next tier here.
Yep. Well, a lot of those guys fold into the next question, which is how likely are you to stack wide receivers from the same team? And we're talking about Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. We're talking about Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson. Just overall, what's your philosophy there?
My overall philosophy there is I don't care what team they're on. Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson, you know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they don't know that they're on the same fantasy team. I'm just looking for good players. We think all these players will produce. Now, as you sit here on your screen and you see Kupp, Robinson, Chase, Higgins, Hill, Waddle, Evans, Godwin, Allen, Williams, the one that gives me the most pause there is Hill and Waddle. because that's Tua, and we don't know what that offense will look like. We don't know if that offense can support two fantasy-relevant wide receivers. We know that the Rams can.
Yes.
And Stafford can, because we saw it last year with Kupp and Woods early and Kupp and OBJ late. We know that the Bengals can, obviously. We know that Godwin and Evans can, because we've seen it from Brady. We know that the Vikings can, because we've seen it from Jefferson and Thielen when Thielen was healthy last year. We know that Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense can, because we've seen it from So I'm not targeting players from the same team, but I'm also not avoiding it. Again, as we let the draft come to you, if Mike Williams is the best wide receiver available and I already have Keenan Allen, great. Yeah. By the way, I mean, I think Williams is a better value than Allen, but same thing. Like, I don't have a problem with if I've drafted Jamar Chase into the first round and then for whatever reason comes back around at the, you know, when you're in the third and T. Higgins is somehow still out there, grab T. Higgins.
Yeah,
T. Higgins is going to have a very good year, even if Jamar Chase also completely balls out.
Yeah, it's not so much a question of whether you're in on Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. It's a question of whether you're in on Joe Burrow, really, at that point. And all those duos that we showed, they all had quarterbacks who are within the top 8-9 favorites for MVP, except for Tua Tagovailoa, who's plus 7,000 to win MVP.
Right.
And it's just not in that same class as Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, and co. Okay, next question. What do you look for in late-round wide receiver targets?
I look for upside.
Yep.
I think there's upside. So let's just talk very briefly about sort of overall philosophy on drafting wide receivers. I think it's important to have both ceiling wide receivers and floor wide receivers. It's one thing if you're drafting a best ball, then you want all guys that can just sort of boom or bust, and you'll figure it out week to week, right? Because best ball. But assuming you're drafting a team where you're drafting a season-long team, right? I mean, you want a guy like who's a good example of this? You know, like DJ Moore.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, so, like, there's a ceiling on, you know, Michael Pittman has a crazy ceiling this year. We love yep. Michael Pittman this year. But DJ Moore has a floor. Like, DJ Moore, we don't know about the touchdowns. He's never been able to score more than four. But this is a guy that's had over 1,200 yards from scrimmage each of the last 3 years. Like
with Sam Darnold
and you know the in. Right exactly the, you know the right Kyle Allen like
right,
so
Kyle
he,
Allen.
Like he just we know DJ Moore is really talented. He's going to get a massive target share. So I mean, I think you want both players that are like sort of floor guys, but also like upside guys. Like Elijah Moore is an upside guy. Hunter Renfrow is a floor guy. And so I think you want a mixture of that because you don't want to have to count on these boom-bust guys every single week. You want at least some guaranteed production at your wide receiver position. As a result, as you're going through that mid-round, we talked last segment about the dead RB zone.
Yes.
Give me those mid-tier wide receivers. I just think this is an important stat, right? Last year, wide receivers on Yahoo between 11 and 20 at their position, 70% of them finished as a top 20 wide receiver last season. Running backs between 11 and 20 at their position last year, 50%
yep.
finished as a top 20 wide receiver. Again, a top 20 running back, I should say. Again, it is just one of those things where wide receivers, especially in those middle rounds, where you're looking at the Brandon Cooks and the Rashad Batemans and the Marquise Browns and the Gabe Davises and the Mike Williams of the world, the Jujus of the world, right? Those are the guys that we think have a lot more upside than the Josh Jacobs, and you're taking a Josh Jacobs just because you need a running back because he qualifies at the position. But if Juju's a top 15 fantasy wide receiver this year, no one's going to be shocked.
Yep.
Same with Gabe Davis. You know, same with, you know, Marquise Brown.
Yeah, 100%. There were 23 wide receivers that had over 1,000 receiving yards last year. There are only 7 running backs over 1,000 rushing yards. And guys like Darnell Mooney, we're projecting him to flirt with 1,000 receiving yards. Like, it's Darnell Mooney.
Right.
He's going outside the top 90 in drafts. But in terms of late-round targets...
1,000%. In terms of late-round targets, what you're looking for is a couple of things. You're looking for talent and opportunity, you know, and potential for opportunity, and so by that I mean like you have to think about especially like sort of rookies or why might they pop, right? So here's a late round wide receiver that's going, Robert Woods.
Yep.
Robert Woods might get a 25-30% target share, especially if Treylon Burks is slow to get going. You think about Amon-Ra St. Brown last year. Amon-Ra didn't do anything. And then the final six, like as a rookie wide receiver, sort of pop. Think about the second half of Jaylen Waddle's year last year. So again, do I think Chris Olave or Jahan Dotson are on fire out of the Sky Moore? Are they on fire out of the gate? You know, no. But or Jalen Tolbert, I like him a lot as well as another rookie wide receiver. George Pickens. You know, but again, as they get more acclimated into their offense and the quarterbacks get more familiar with them, then I think they have a chance to pop over the second half, you know, or talented guys that all they need is an injury.
Yep.
Josh Palmer is a guy like that. Again, with Justin Herbert as quarterback. So you're looking for guys that have good quarterback situations or potentially and have the talent that if they get an opportunity, they can pop. So
yep. I think the other thing there is you want the unknown as well. You want unknown situations because that creates upside. So guys with new quarterbacks, with new schemes, or even someone like Devontae Smith, who now has A.J. Brown there, and he has a new environment in the passing game, or Christian Kirk, who goes to Trevor Lawrence as maybe the number one option. That unknown and that uncertainty creates upside.
Isaiah McKenzie has never had an every day road, but now he is going to be the slot receiver for the Buffalo Bills, right? Alec Pierce, now going to be, you know, with a good NFL quarterback in Matt Ryan, right?
Yep.
K.J. Osborne sort of came out last year, and now he's going to be the number three on what we expect to be a really pass-happy offense. So, again, you're just sort of looking for, to your point, what's the unknown? Where's the opportunity and the upside?
Definitely. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, we're going to talk quarterbacks and tight end strategy. Then I think we'll probably talk about Matt Ryan, who you just mentioned.
He might not factor in. And so you want your mom to be happy. And your mom is there with, I don't know, I'm making it up here, Zach Wilson. What's your reaction?
I
you're a kid. You're like 16 years old.
Yeah.
You want mom to be happy.
I don't think I'm that happy, to be honest.
Right.
Because there's just a lot swirling around. I think if it was any other quarterback in the NFL,
you'd be okay with it?
I'd be okay. If it was Patrick Mahomes,
then you're in. That is just a heads up to all NFL quarterbacks. If you want a shot at Mama Croucher and Jay's approval, you got to be good.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Sorry,
Croucher.
Sam Darnold. You're out.
You're out, Darnold.
You're out, Darnold.
Yeah, Kyle Allen.
Yeah,
no dice. Chance.
Sorry, brother. Sorry, man.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Josh Rosen. No. Hit the road. But Kyler Murray. What's up?
What's
How you
up,
doing?
Kyle Murray?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Murray.
Sure. Yeah. Justin Herbert.
Absolutely.
Mahomes. Josh Allen. Yeah.
Why not?
My friend Cooterdoodle calls Josh Allen daddy. So maybe
really?
You could also, yeah,
I can
she does.
Also call Josh Allen daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
By the way,
okay.
The first time the words Cooterdoodle have ever been said on national television. So there you go.
All right.
We probably won't be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
Smooth transition into quarterbacks.
Right.
And why is it often smart to wait on quarterbacks in your fantasy draft?
Well, I think it's because of the depth of the position. Because you know what the reason is? Is because fantasy football is broken. And this is a different rant. No,
oh,
I'm dead
no.
serious. But like, this is a completely different rant for a different show. But the default should be, in any league, is super flex or two quarterback league. Because if you're in a 10-team or 12-team league where it's one quarterback, the problem is that there's just so much depth at the position. Again, so Yahoo, where the default is 12 teams, one quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is going late in the eighth round.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
Dak Prescott is going late and is going early in the eighth round. Aaron Rodgers.
He's good.
If he is good. He is hashtag analysis.
Yeah.
Look at us breaking it down. But my point is that if you had an actual NFL draft and you put all the players on every team, the first pick is Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, and that second one and Justin Herbert. You know what I mean? It's all going to be quarterbacks for the first 15 picks, you know, if not more. And that's not how it goes in fantasy. So the reason why it's smart to wait on quarterback is just because there's so much depth at the position, whereas bell cow running backs, there aren't a lot of them. Elite wide receivers, there aren't a ton of them. There are more than running backs, but that's why, because, right, if you can get Aaron Rodgers in the eighth round or Dak in the eighth, I mean, Kyler Murray's going in the sixth. Jalen Hurts is going in the sixth. Those are guys that are going to put up big fantasy points. Having said that, I do think more than ever this year it is more important to get an elite quarterback versus just I'll mix and match with Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz or whatever.
I like Baker Mayfield.
You do?
Yeah, I love Baker Mayfield. I'm all in. Just remember, when he beats Cleveland in week one and he becomes immediately the favorite for comeback player of the year and the train has left the station, you're not allowed to get back on. Because it's me and Baker, and you're
fine.
Out.
No. I'm in on Baker Mayfield as an upgrade for the Carolina Panthers. I'm in on Baker Mayfield as helpful to DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. I am out on Baker Mayfield sitting in the kitchen with my mom at 8 a.m. in the morning. But that sounds like you are. So Mama Croucher and Baker Mayfield is above the Croucher line. Is what I'm just like. That's kind of like the Mendoza line. It's the Croucher line. Is this quarterback good enough to have coffee, to be in the kitchen at 8 a.m. having coffee with a mom?
I think it's the Mayfield line because he's the last guy. Which point I'm comfortable.
Or should it be the Zach Wilson line? Because I mean, he's the it's inspired by him.
Yeah.
But Zach Wilson isn't above the Zach Wilson line.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's
below
the
delineation.
He's firmly below it.
So it's the Baker Mayfield line.
The last thing I'll say on this is that we have 13 guys who are set at over 4,000 passing yards in their season total. So we're expecting, like Derek Carr, we're expecting to get 4,500 yards. Now, Derek Carr.
I do think if you're in a deeper league, I do think Cousins and Carr are sort of my cutoff in terms of QB1. Because after that, you start getting into the, into the Baker Mayfields, into the Trey Lance, the Justin Fields, the Trevor Lawrences, and they all have upside, but there's definitely risk there. Cousins and Carr are kind of the last two where I feel comfortable. Okay, I can live with that guy as my starting quarterback.
You don't feel great coming out of a draft with Kirk Cousins as your starting quarterback, but you probably should feel okay because it means that you've taken running backs and wide receivers earlier. Like, we have Kirk Cousins, the ninth favorite to lead the league in passing yards at plus 1,600, 10th favorite to lead in passing touchdowns, 10th favorite to lead in passing yards. And for everyone who's all in on Justin Jefferson, you have to be slightly in on Kirk Cousins
1,000%.
As well because they're inextricably linked together. He could have 5,000 yards.
Over 30 touchdowns each of the last 2 years, well over 4,000 yards each of the last 2 years in a conservative offense, and now they're going to go pass happy. I do think it's important, though. I do think it's important in terms of quarterbacks that if you can, you want one of two things with your quarterbacks. You either want rushing upside. The Josh Allens, the Kylers, the Jalen Hurts, the, you know, who's my ride or die, right? I mean, those guys, the guys that can run. Lamar Jackson, obviously. Even, you know, Mahomes and Herbert will get you some points with their legs. Or they have to have massive passing touchdown upside, right? So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Cousins and Carr on some level have that. But here's, if you can't see it at home, we have a full screen up of our projected quarterbacks in terms of rushing yards. We project, this is Yahoo now. Yahoo projects Lamar Jackson to lead the NFL among quarterbacks in rushing yards. Then there's Trey Lance, Jalen Hurts is third, Josh Allen fourth, Justin Fields at five, and Kyler Murray at six. Again, the rushing is so key that can make somebody that isn't great as a passer, which is what Jalen Hurts was last year. He was not great as a passer, but still was a top eight fantasy quarterback due to the rushing. You cannot underestimate how crucial it is to get a quarterback that gets you points with his legs.
Yeah, it's also just, and it biases things a little bit, but it's also just more fun to have a running quarterback. It's the same reason why Michael Vick is the greatest ever Madden quarterback and everyone's just competing for second. It's just cool to have someone on your fantasy team who can run fast down the field. It's like, look, there's my guy. He's accumulating yards by moving his legs quickly.
Right.
It just makes it more fun. I will say, though,
which explains why you're so in on Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I like Baker Mayfield. He gets down the field a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. He scoots a little bit. He's a scooter. He's not really a runner. He's more he's kind of scoots.
No, it's like the anti-Colin Kaepernick, which was like the long legs, dashing.
Right,
short legs for Baker.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Listen, Brady, Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers, they were three of the top six quarterbacks last season. Rodgers can move a little bit, but he's not adding massive rushing yards. And then Brady and Stafford can't. So I wouldn't be terrified if you don't come out with
someone. Exactly. But again, what those three quarterbacks have in common, Rodgers, Stafford, and Brady, is that they all have massive, massive passing and touchdown upside.
Yep.
All three of them obviously are elite, real NFL quarterbacks, and all of them are in fantasy-friendly offenses throwing to great wide receivers.
Yep.
Well, except for Aaron Rodgers this year. Yep. So we will see.
The last point on that as well is that rushing, it gives you upside that no one else has. So the best fantasy quarterback season in the past 3 years, Lamar Jackson in 2019. No one else is even close because of that upside. All right, let's go to tight ends. And the first question is, are you comfortable taking Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews in the first two rounds?
I am. I'm comfortable with it. I haven't, in most of the draft that I've done so far, I haven't gone that way. But I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I want to be either one of the first people in my league to get a tight end or one of the last. And by that, I mean, you know, drafting a quarterback in that 8 to 12, a tight end in that 8 to 12 range among tight ends. Because I just think the middle tier is like, it's fine. And I like Hockenson, and I think Schultz will have a decent year. But ultimately, yeah, I think you either want to be elite at the position, or I think you can find enough production later on. Here are my top 10 tight ends. Andrews at 1. I have Kelce at 2. Kyle Pitts at 3. And I think that's a tier. I think those three guys are in a tier. Then you've got Waller and Kittle at 4 and 5. That's a tier. And then you get to Dalton Schultz, TJ Hockenson. I think they're a tier. And now you're into Ertz, Freiermuth, and Goddard at 10. I'm lower than consensus.
Freiermuth.
I love Freiermuth, and I am significantly lower than consensus on Goddard. Again, go to my love hate for all the reasoning, available on NBCSportsEdge.com for free.
I think the question with Kelce is some people question his upside because he's 33 years old and we've just seen so much, but the upside comes from Tyreek Hill not being there anymore. And that's why we have Travis Kelce, the fifth favorite to lead the league in touchdowns, a plus 1,200. He's the sixth favorite to lead in receptions, and he's the seventh favorite to lead in receiving yards. So he definitely has upside.
Six straight years of 80 or more receptions and 1,000 yards, and now Tyreek Hill is
the most consistent player in fantasy, just about. The one thing with Mark Andrews to be a little bit put off by is that five of his seven best games last season came with Tyler Huntley as his quarterback. So that's just one thing. Not really worried about Mark Andrews, but it's one thing to think about.
The pro Andrews argument is over 25% target share, led all tight ends. He led all tight ends in end zone targets.
No Marquise Brown.
Over 140 targets are still available. We like Isaiah Likely as a late round tight end flyer, but it's going to be the pecking order there is Andrews, Marquise Brown, and then Isaiah Likely in terms of target share.
Rashad Bateman.
Thank you. Yeah, now, Marquise Brown's in Arizona. Late round tight ends. What I look for in late round tight ends, right, is athleticism and, you know, ideally, hopefully, a good quarterback. You think about some of the late round tight ends that have popped. Mark Andrews in 2019, where he was tight end 16. Bob Tonyan in 2020, where he's going undrafted. Dawson Knox last year, he was tight end 18 on Yahoo. Some of the guys that I like that qualify for that like potentially either could get massive target share or have good quarterbacks, David Njoku, 80% route participation last in the preseason. That's highest since in quite a few years. Jacoby Brissett targeted tight ends 26% of the time when he was a quarterback with the Colts in 2019. Cole Kmet, as I talked about, guy had over 90 targets last year, didn't score a touchdown.
Yep.
Just incredibly fluky. Cole Kmet is going to get a massive target share. How about Gerald Everett?
Yeah, why not?
You know, he's no more Jared Cook. Gerald Everett is there. We think the Chargers offense is going to take a huge step forward.
All in Herbert and everything associated with him.
And Albert Okwegbunam.
You said it.
I did.
You're ready for it.
They gave me a pronunciation guy. I'm going to be honest, but I went for it. Anyway, obviously, massive upgrade with Robertson Wilson. It's been a tough preseason for him, but he's basically he's currently going undrafted in leagues. People are so out on Alberto.
What about
Irv Smith? I like, yeah. Cole Kmet is my absolute favorite.
Okay.
But I also think Njoku and Everett are interesting. And by the way, Logan Thomas, I'm telling you, this is a guy who's been an elite fantasy tight end in his career, and he's coming back. He's going to start this season slow. He may not even be there first game, but second half of the year, mark my words, Logan Thomas will get in there.
Wow. No one loves Logan Thomas like you do.
No.
Is he number one? Is he your favorite football player?
Like, I'm okay if I walk into the kitchen in the morning and Logan Thomas is there with my mom.
We should do the tight end correlate.
The tight end,
the Barry line. We'll do that next show.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That is the show. We'll be here tomorrow. Peace out.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.